This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, November
5th, 2009.
It is now 4:45. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Give it a few more minutes.
Well, I don't think nobody here.
Jerry,
people might have tests. It doesn't
matter.
We have corn.
We have happy.
What is the big thing, though?
Happy?
It's delicious. Is it good?
I heard it's supposed to be amazing.
I mean, I love Thai food in general, but like, is this supposed to be like gold-plated Thai food or something?
I know, right?
The line is crazy. I've never seen that.
I can follow.
Here.
Something for you.
Here?
No, website.
Did you get my email?
No, wait, when you come today?
No, I just sent you this.
Oh, for Jennifer?
Oh, for that thing. Oh, yeah, okay. I've been checking it off.
Here.
Okay. And it will be on
Okay, we'll now move to open microphone. If there is anyone in the audience who would like to bring up something that is currently not on the agenda, please step forward. Okay, moving on to... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Phoebe. Introduce yourself and your name. Any questions for Phoebe about the student innovation plan?
Yeah.
All right. VP Andrews.
I just want to add on to that. Yeah. So Phoebe found a person to build the website, and she's been integral in the entire process in the Innovation Council. So we'll be working with them to provide content, and then hopefully there'll be a blog and all that stuff. But just thanks for coming.
Representative the stock.
Yeah, no problem.
If I could just add on.
Phoebe, one thing.
Okay, so if I can just add on also, if people are interested in joining the committee, it's sort of like a rolling application, so you can just shoot me an email and we'll get them added to the list.
Thanks. Okay, moving on to approval of the minutes that were sent out to you via email for October 29th. Are there any motions?
Call for action. Second.
Call for acclamation. There is a second. Is there any dissent? Okay, the minutes have been approved. Now moving on, we're going to go to improving town down communications efforts by Gary Stewart. Thanks, VPN.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming today. That's actually a great resource to have, especially with people having trouble with landlords, noise ordinances, and all that stuff. I was wondering if you had an update on the College Town Master Plan, if that's going to go through at all. I don't know if that's if you're involved with that process at all.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
right.
The zoning.
Yeah,
and
we're going to be paid for definitely to be on that plan. We're going to get the latest update on Tuesday. Right now, this is Monday, but we're going to have an official update on that Tuesday at the College Dynamic Council meeting. We meet the second Tuesday of each month from 4:30 to 5:30 at St. Luke's behind College Town Bagels. That group only takes the students are there. I think there's too many of those meetings where people are sitting around and saying, I think students think. You know, that's really helpful. And so please, if we can change the meeting plan, a little later in the afternoon, the students can come in. We'll be updating our plan on Tuesday, because that's the finality. It's just so simple.
Yeah, because I know I attended two of those meetings last semester, and it seemed helpful when students were getting there. So, I guess I'll be in contact with you, and if there's it's hard for students to commit, I think, every week, but if there's one or two meetings where, you know, it'd be really helpful for students to be there, we'd love to, you know, help out as a student government to show support for it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll be sure to send a reminder to you all about the College Town Neighborhood Council meeting, and I guess if there's anything we'd like to add to the agenda to discuss, we can ask you to add that as well.
Yeah, anything you guys ever want to forward to College Town Neighborhood Council, let me know, and we'll get it on the agenda.
Okay.
So it's also one of the advocates. Our office of community relations for now is small, but it's got a pretty good skill set. My colleague Jen Greenberger grew up here. We've been on the council for 12 years and was a mayor for 3 terms. And I was a senior page editor for local newspaper for 10 years. So we clean up to know a lot of folks. And I really get a lot of pleasure of connecting students with resources and individuals in the town. So anytime I can help you out, please let me know.
Also, I had a question about the article you sent about what was going on in Bowdoin, how they established a town sort of student liaison. Do you think that would be necessary, have a purpose between Cornell and Ithaca?
I think that what's good is that you mentioned that there's a student in town, so that really helps. And the students have a pretty rough start. The first student who was on town council resigned versus resigned via email, but wasn't of students being at town council. And he's going to do a great job, and I think that you guys just might want to invite him over on a regular basis to report out on town down issues and let him know what you folks are thinking about. I think that would be the most effective way.
All right, thanks. Are there any other questions? All right, thank you for coming. Now we're going to go to changes to parental notification policy by Mary Beth Grant, Deborah Lewis, and Dean Hull.
We're going to do bond for Mr. Beth.
Yes.
Here, I'm going to hand up.
I'm a one-track guy. So I guess I wanted to introduce this talk really quickly. So you all have in front of you, in your packet somewhere, a chart overview of the parental notification policy for alcohol and other drug violations. This conversation has been a conversation that I've been part of for, I guess, about a year now. Really, this has been one of the more interesting things I know that I encourage a lot of you guys, and will be continuing to encourage you guys, to especially take my place when I graduate. But this has been a really interesting conversation for me because this is, in effect, one of the least clear-cut things that I think we as students, or for me as an assembly member, have dealt with, where really, we're trying to strike a balance between privacy of students, which we hold in the utmost, but also student health, which is vitally important. So I guess I'll let you guys take it from there.
Well, let me give you sort of perhaps you realize that historically Cornell has treated students like animals. It's a policy of long standing. We believe that
So I guess, I mean, you had mentioned, I guess, a little bit about the history of how things existed prior to 1999. So can you, I guess, really briefly touch up on what has been the strict policy in the past or lack thereof, and then how this is coming into place? So I guess for Deb or for Eugene Hubble or Mary Beth. Thank you.
Thank you. I will now open it up to speakers, Representative Dandy.
Protocol is worse than two cases where they're just found in what they call it, when they're in the room, that, they get in touch with, so, like, you know, I mean, I'm in no way advocating that people who do request that glass people are called for the first contact, but I think that, you know, that could be very expensive. So I was just hoping, like, you know,
we're going to move on. BPM.
So thank you for coming today, and I just would like to say first, I'm of the mindset that students are, you know, when they come to university, they're adults, and they should be treated in that way. And so I'm very hesitant to, support overzealous notification of parents, especially when there's a whole variety of alcohol and other drug offenses from, again, as we mentioned, being in a room with just alcohol, or if you're under 21, walking onto the sidewalk with a beer in your hand and getting stopped by the police, there you go, there's another alcohol and another drug offense, doesn't mean that you have a problem with alcohol or the drugs. So that's why, you know, I trust the administration and, you know, in recognizing the difference. And so I guess where my question would be, how are you going to present this report to students? Is there going to be a clear advertising campaign for demonstrating that this is how the policy is changing and this is how the administration is going to be applying the notification policy? Or are students only going to learn about this notification policy when, oh wow, my parents just got a letter in the mail because I was caught in a dorm room with who happened to have alcohol on the shelf, and I had no idea that the alcohol was on that shelf when I was in the dorm room.
That's a really good question. One of the things that is very important to the committee that worked on this is that we're very transparent about it. We do think that needed a huge rollout of advertising,
So the ways in which we're communicating with students are fairly early. One way, logically, two ways have already taken place, is that in the beginning of each semester, the registrar sends out a letter that talks about the students' rights under the federal privacy law and the policy 4.5. So that is already actually a couple of 2 years ago. We're talking about starting last year.
I was wondering if there's any distinction or consideration made based on the grade that where students are in. Meaning, if you have a freshman who is JA versus a senior who is JA, is there any consideration when communicating with parents, you know, whether you're going to
okay, are there any other questions? Shipka.
I was wondering if this would be useful. Like, is there any way to do transparency that you can kind of make a scale of, like, you know, the different violations that can happen from the JA and, like, you know, where you see them on, like, their scales? It's kind of like, you know, the bottom you have, like, you know, seeing the presence or, like, the actual container at the top, you know, whatever
it may be, just so that students, just kind of like a sign to show like where you see the severity of it. So it's some of the first time
thank you for presenting these changes to us. Hopefully they'll be instrumental in improving student life here for everyone. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now we're going to skip to the address on the multicultural community by DP Lawyers. You can go up there.
Sure. You can go back to the mountain?
Yes, okay. Good evening, everybody. Usually these are updates for committee meetings, JAMA committee meetings. But today, I've decided to actually give an address on what's going on, given the climate at Cornell. Today's address is really for everybody, for everyone. It's not just to the student assembly or the president or vice president or the dean or staff or minority or majority students, however you want to see it. It's for everybody because everybody has to take notice of these issues. Usually they're, you know, and to be frank with you, they're swept under the rug. People might hear about it or, you know, might talk about it with your friends, but in reality, they're never brought to a table like the student assembly. So I'm just going to point out to you, I guess, certain specifics that are hardly mentioned. If they are mentioned, they're not taken very seriously. One of the things that I want to point out is that this is not just one community front or one person, you know, talking about this. This is actually a concern of the entire multicultural community. And when I say that, I'm talking about the students of color, those people in those communities. You guys, a lot of people might not be able to identify with them, truth be told. And I mean, I can understand why, because we're not all from the same places. And obviously, when we go back and we leave these student assembly meetings or we leave our classes, we don't necessarily identify with people that don't look like us or that don't share our certain values. That's just how things are. But at the same time, this being the student assembly, you know, our cause is not just for a certain demographic of people. It's for all the students at Cornell University. This is the student assembly, not just for, you know, a group of certain students. And forgive me if my tone is unapologetic, but I hope it's very constructive. I'm on the student assembly too, so in a sense, I'm criticizing myself, and I'm a student, so I think that I can do this. I hope no one gets offended. When I say, and I don't want to just talk about the multicultural community and I address the communities that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Asian American students. I'm talking about the African American students, the Latino students, the Muslim students, any student of color that identifies with communities that aren't the majority community is exactly who I'm talking about. And you're going to automatically want to look at it from the lens of race. But this is not a racist issue. This is an issue of a lack of support. It's almost like an injustice being done to certain communities or certain students. And it's not even that the majority students or the administration are putting someone in a corner. They're not doing this on purpose. Who knows what it is? You know, I'm not going to call it racism, but I'm going to present the objective view, and I know exactly what's going on. And it's that the multicultural community is not, their needs are not being met. Everyone has needs on this campus, and for the most part, our needs are met. But the multicultural community's needs are hardly met. And I can give you examples of those, and we're not going to debate, you know, the ideology or how you feel about this. We're going to debate exactly what's going on. And everyone knows the example of Mr. Glover as the RAZ of Lewis. Now, everyone's probably like, okay, we're going to bring this up again. And, you know, you want to stop talking about it. And then when I say us, I'm talking about the multicultural community. But do you know why the entire multicultural community is talking about this? It's because they see a certain community, the African-American community, which they can identify with, being attacked, their support being removed, and they're wondering, you know, if that can happen to them, that can happen to anybody. That's where the concern is. That's what links everybody together, I'm hoping I'm making sense. The objective point in this is that Mr. Glover is still, because he is still the REZ of Ujima, a support system, a very good support system, and has been doing an amazing job for 20 years in that position. And he's been helping countless students, not just in the African American community, but in the Ithaca community, in the Muslim community, in the Latino community, and he continues to do it. And the position that he is in makes him that beacon. That's why people are concerned when Mr. Glover is removed from that position. It's not because they want him to stay there for an extra 20 years. Mr. Glover might not want to stay there for an extra 20 years. But there was no reason to remove him and remove that support from the people that he supported, that he supported the most. When we don't get support from that many other places. Well, the places that we're supposed to get it from, for example, Student Assembly, the Student Assembly is not there every day like Mr. Glover is. They're not there in the community where we are every day like Mr. Glover is, giving us what we need as the REZ of Ujamaa. You would think that he would be given a different position by now, not just an REZ, because that's not what he is anymore. He's no longer an REZ. He's something else. Like, I don't even know what to call that thing. Hopefully we can come up with that later on. But Mr. Glover is the epitome of support. No matter what you need, Mr. Glover will do it for you no matter what community you're in, because he knows that our needs aren't being met, so he's the person that's going to meet those needs every single time. But that's not the only example. That's just the best example I can give. One example that is just kind of depressing to me is the Asian American Community Center. As a student assembly, I believe some time ago, there was a resolution passed for them to have a space on campus. Then there was funding given to that, and Dean Hubble can elaborate and talk about that more if he would choose to. But right now, you probably don't even know where the Asian American Student Center is, because, I mean, it's being overlooked, like, you know, a lot of other issues, because it's in a room in Willis Strait with one staff member, Assistant Dean Patricia Nugent, I hope I'm saying her name right, and she has $5,000 to work with at the budget. I think that's like 80% per Asian student at Cornell. Is that, like, I got my facts straight, I think. That's just very miserable, you know? And it's not, I'm trying to make these issues, they're already a concern, but I'm trying to bring them to the forefront. Because we always hear about them, but, you know, not many of us will bring it up as a student assembly meeting. They'll wait for, you know, certain communities to start really getting upset about it, start really saying something about it, and then you'd want to say, okay, now maybe we should help. Or maybe if, you know, someone like me didn't bring it up, we'll probably sweep it under a rug, you know? So that's why in these next 2 weeks, you're going to see sort of the multicultural, you know, resolutions coming into place, because, you know, for a long time, people, and especially this semester, the advocacy has increased tenfold. You know, I know you guys have heard of the Students for Ken Glover, and you just probably think, oh, they're just pests. They just keep on asking about Ken Glover and the multicultural community. But it's not being a pest. These issues have been here the whole entire time. It's just now that people are getting tired of being backed into a corner. And when you back someone in a corner for too long, they only have two things to do. They can either stop, or they can fight back. And I don't see anyone stopping for a very long time. So I guess what I'm trying to say now is that as a student assembly, we have to take up the causes that, you know, affect the students. Mr. Glover is a direct issue that affects the students as a RAZ, because he's affecting a certain demographic. You guys might not think outright that it affects students, but it sure it affects me. It affects a lot of minority students. You know, we want to talk a lot about the diversity that Cornell boasts. You know, and we do bring in a lot of minority students. And I, from what I understand, 2013, that class was a huge increase in the multicultural students that we brought in. Now, if you bring the students here and they have no support system, do you think that they're really going to be able to maintain or sustain themselves, you know, just on that alone, on the fact that they got in here? Like, that's great. That's good and great. But don't we have to do something to make sure that, you know, as students, like, just as we try to accommodate transfer students, we should, you know, try to accommodate multicultural students as well. Like, it's not as if we can't do it. That's not what I'm saying. But there are certain things put in place for these students and for these communities, and they're not sufficient. And when we say that they're not sufficient, what we get in return is we'll do a better job next time. And next time you don't do a better job, and next time you don't do a better job, and then we're left with nothing. So I just wanted everyone to keep that in mind today, especially when we give the resolution 22 for the reinstatement of Mr. Glover as the REZ of Ouse until a proper committee with student input can address the fact. So I hope I didn't take too much time, because I know we have to go to announcements. If there are any questions or anything.
Vivi Kumar.
First of all, I just want to commend D.P. Williams for, you know, giving that address. It probably took a lot of courage to stand up here and, you know, get that all out there in the public forum. So I really want to commend you on doing that. I just want to pick up on, you know, the challenge that you gave to both the student assembly and the entire undergraduate community, which is that, you know, essay meetings and resolutions like 19 and 22 are an important first step. But they are only a first step, and I think the challenge for all of us is to take, you know, that message of reaching across, you know, reaching to different communities to the next level, which is, you know, to integrate it into committee work, to integrate it into other resolutions. So the key is, you know, that student assembly meetings are not enough. We have to start moving forward. We have to start working on these issues outside of the memorial room. So I just want to echo B.P. Williams' challenge to you all. Keep that in mind in the future.
All right, I'm going to move it on to announcements and reports. If anyone has anything else to say, feel free to bring it up when Resolution 22 is brought on the table. Office hours this week are going to be canceled because I, along with Representative Latella, who's currently not here, and former Representative Yuan Yao, will be going to Dartmouth this weekend to meet with the other IB student leadership across campuses and discuss issues. Also I would like to commend Christina Brooks. I don't know if you all are aware, she was selected as a semi-finalist on Oprah's Karaoke Challenge, and we wish her the best of luck in advancing to the next round. Christina Copeland, president of the Sustainability Hub. I don't know if you remember, we funded a sustainability summit for them in September. She sent a thank you card, and she was really grateful. And there's going to be a follow-up to the event on November 10th from 4:30 to 6:15 in the Big Red Barn. And I encourage as many of you to attend as possible because we did, you know, fund their first event, so it would be great to have a large essay turnout. GBSA update by Representative Desai.
Dan, I was on the phone for the GBSA meeting with the committee. They basically went over what's the bylaws, but I know we did in our own committee.
Speaking for Mike.
Yeah, referring to the GBSA, this is something that Vice President Basil mentioned earlier. They're doing a survey to all the members of the GBSA community to see what their opinion is on some of the budgeting matters. So if it's, you know, I don't even think you use the service, so I think the three things that they were talking about were Cornell Athletic, cinema, and Float Day. I think it's like a simple survey, like yes or no, do you attend Float Day events, do you use Cornell Cinema, do you use your favorite sports pass? So I think it was a question to Basil, and it's not like this, you know, based on the essay to do. And then we had a maximum presentation from Lights on Cornell, who I think is speaking later today, so.
Any questions for Representative Scott? Okay. I'd also like to congratulate Senior Eddie Rooker on winning the Ithaca Common Council elections. He's now the new alderman for the 4th Ward, so if he can introduce himself. Yeah, you can clap. If you'd like to, yeah. I guess, you know, he's available to us. He's another student advocate if there are any issues, like Gary Stewart mentioned, you know, relating to students in College Town. You know, he's another resource for us all to use. Moving on to an AAC update by Representative Smith.
Grand Hall, so not the person.
also talked about the possible resurrection of AAP 111, which many of us are taking that. I'm really aware of it, but essentially it's a class that is supposed to be for that is given that put on for all students in college. So everybody will have a chance to meet each other, mingle, and learn about the different departments, and tie them back together. They're coming up with curriculum for that. And also, we have a presentation where in the gallery and the possible restructuring of the Fine Arts Library, which is going to be the next time.
Any questions or comments for Representative Smith? Okay, now to byline funding, VPB.
All right, so now that we're about two-thirds of the way through the process, I provided, I guess, sort of an overall update of where we stand, which you all have in front of you, this sheet right here. So as you can see, we've currently funded $105.48. Out of the total student activity fee. That number, I guess, is only about half where we will end up, but it's kind of depressed by the fact that we haven't funded SASC yet, which accounts for about 30 or 40% of our total student activity fee. So yeah, I mean, as you can see again, the last column right here shows the difference between the amount requested by each group and the amount the SA funded at. Most groups, again, were funded at the amount that they requested, and there aren't going to be any positive numbers there, again, because the number that the groups requested is the maximum that we're allowed to fund at. So are there any questions on this before we ask Matt?
I just would say that we probably go over these numbers because they're all correct. They know for the payment request is correct. I'm pretty sure they're requesting 275, not steady.
Yeah, they may be requesting a different number than they turned in originally. Okay. So if there are no other questions, we'll go ahead and move on to see you tonight.
Yes. All right.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Steve Tonight is a late-night non-alcoholic social programming board that funds late-night non-alcoholic programming events. So Steve Tonight was previously funded at $9. They requested $12, and the Appropriations Committee recommended $10 by a vote of 12 to 2. Basically, Steve Tonight was an organization that the committee felt very strongly has done a great amount of programming, but basically given the amount of unfulfilled Steve Tonight requests, the committee didn't feel like a full $3 increase was justified, so the committee ended up settling on $10 for an allocation for Steve Tonight. Are there any questions or comments? Motions?
Self-affirmation.
The call for acclamation, is there any dissent? Seeing none, Steve Tonight is approved for $10. Next, I have the International Students Programming Board. ISPB is a funding board that funds, I think, 236 different internationally oriented student groups on campus. They fund all these organizations up to $400 for events, and they put on, I think, roughly 60 events per year. ISPB was asking for a 14-cent increase from $1.90 to $2.04. They were planning on increasing both the cap of funding per event to $500, and they also wanted to increase the number of events they're funding per year. The Assembly believed very strongly that both of those were worthy and granted their request for $2.04 by a vote of 11-0 to 1. So are there any questions for ISPB? Any motion? Motion approved. Just call for acclamation. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, ISPB is approved. Next, Big Red Bikes. So Big Red Bikes was a new organization. They have not been funded in the past. Big Red Bikes is basically seeking to start a bike sharing program on Cornell's campus. So they're going to start next year with 20 bikes spread between four libraries, Uris, Carpenter, Mann, and the Vet School Library. Students will be able to check out a bike just like they check out a book by swiping their ID card, and we'll have a bike share bike for up to 24 hours. So this is an organization that promotes sustainability on campus and is a project of the Sustainability Hub. And the committee granted their request for $1 by a vote of 12-1. Are there any questions or... Yeah, Rami?
Yeah, since I was on the at the Appropriations Committee meeting, I was just wondering what their response were to one of the concerns we had in this rationale that, you know, it's not a service that would be available throughout the years because of snow.
That was something the committee members weighed in their decision. But again, I think ultimately, and if any committee member wants to speak their mind, feel free. But the committee members and the whole felt that given the cost, it was a worthwhile, worthy initiative. So, any other questions or motions? There's been a motion to approve and a call for affirmation. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Big Red Bikes is approved. Next, moving on to Alana. Alana was an organization that the assembly heard twice. There were concerns surrounding Alana, basically stemming from the fact that right now CCC is mandated in Appendix B to provide logistical support for McFab's annual concert. And there were questions that arose about whether CCC was willing to continue to provide that support in the way that it has in the past. And so the committee had a lot of questions about essentially whether the McFab concert could continue and in what form and whether that, I guess, whether the committee was comfortable fully funding McFab in its current existence. So ultimately, Alana and McFab proposed a new potential plan in the event of CCC not providing logistical support for Barton Hall show to put on multiple shows at different venues. And this would also have the benefit of touching on different genres of music rather than, as has been the case in the past, where the McFab concert has historically been mostly just hip-hop and rap. So the idea here, too, is that multiple smaller venues could promote different kinds of music as well. And this could also happen through co-programming with other organizations, as I guess McFab is currently in contact with CAPSU about putting on concerts. So the Appropriations Committee voted 8-0 to fund Alana at $7.25. Are there any comments?
Yeah, Tom.
Go ahead.
Obviously, this has been on the table for a little while, but I just want to stress, I think it's really important that, you know, very early on next semester we look at Appendix B and look to remove the mandate that Alana and CCC have to work together to put on this concert. I think they proved, at least to my satisfaction, and I'm sure it's a lot of other committee satisfaction, that Alana is completely capable of putting on this event by themselves and putting on a, you know, high-quality event or event. So I think just as a student assembly, we ought to look very early next semester to remove that danger. But with that, I'll put some motion to accept.
Can we have a hand vote? Motion to hand vote.
You don't want to call for affirmation?
No, I think the anonymous deserves to be just that, you know,
okay.
individual vote.
All right. If you approve of the Appropriations Committee allocation, please raise your hand. Okay, and if you disagree with their allocation. Okay, so it's unanimous. Yeah, now we're going to go on to Business of the Bay, Resolution 22, reinstatement of Mr. Ken Glover as the Residential Housing Director of Ujamaa Residential College by Ebony Ray and Ola Ray. And if you could please introduce yourself in the room. Speak up.
Don't So,
or, you know,
giving another position to even be higher than the one they're giving. Because like I said before, he's not just an REV anymore. You know, he's something more than that. You know, and you don't just cast someone like that aside and then take in at the same time take away support the So this is what the student assembly should be looking at specifically when looking at this resolution. Also, the student assembly, we're asking for the student assembly to, I guess, vouch for all students, you know what I'm saying? Like, not just, you know, certain students. This is, I know this is a different area that people might not be used to dealing with, you know, but nonetheless, they're still students. And everything that other students are owed, which is student assembly before, I think, you know, then you need to be owed that as well. And, Resolution 15, which is a very good start. Thank you guys again for coming. Resolution, I love you guys. that resolution allowed us to say now that Mr. Glover, we have to make Mr. Glover through that process can be reviewed by students and administration and not just be removed, you know, whatever he feels like it or whatever they feel like. And like I said, it's not to say that Mr. Glover's been leaving for 20 years, you know, or people try to keep the only reason why this community works. But when someone's doing such a good job for 20 years and all he's doing is better than the community, it's a good thing for another community. There's no reason to fix it. And if you have no other way to remove him and he's done nothing to warrant removal, then, you know, there's a problem with it. So, like I said, I guess now, you know, I guess we feel the question.
Yeah. I've had Parliamentarian Cohen come around and collect names. Community members are going to be recognized on the speaker list with every third speaker.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Representative Akinkan.
Oh, yeah, sure.
First off, I'd like to say I love King Glover. You know, I'm a big supporter of King Glover. Since I've been here, he's been a big help to me. I just kind of worry about the resolution as it's kind of worded, and it kind of feels like it doesn't really say much to me, and it kind of just does exactly what's going to happen already anyway. It's just like saying student assembly supports what's going to happen already anyway. And I just kind of worry that I've been talking to a lot of different people on this issue this entire week, and you know, since it's come up, and a lot of the sentiments I hear are not necessarily in line with what you guys are presenting. And one thing I'm concerned about is I don't really think, and I've heard this from a lot of people, I don't really think Mr. Glover's impact on the community would be diminished by him moving to another dormitory. In fact, it may be even greater, and it may bring another person to Ujima who can fight the same kind of fight that Mr. Glover is currently fighting right now. And so, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad thing, and I would say it's kind of, you know, probably should look on the bright side of this whole thing, because I think a lot of people are afraid of the snowball effect. They think that once Mr. Glover leaves Ujima, Ujima will eventually die. But Susan Murphy has already said that it's not going to die. She already supports Ujima, so it's not going to die. And I just worry that a lot of people are trying to, you know, are making this a King Glover, you know, are making this a Ujima issue instead of making it a King Glover issue. If King Glover feels that he was wrong in that situation, which, you know, a couple people have said he had, then that's an employee rights issue. That's not a whole, I guess, racial and multicultural community issue.
30 seconds.
So, I just want to address a couple of points. I think that you should just think about what you're saying a little bit more, because the resolution said a lot more than you expect. You actually didn't expect much of the resolution and what it said, because I was typically bringing this to SA for them to make a decision on reinstating Ken Glover and overriding the campus, the Department of Campus Life, what they've done already. You see what I'm saying? That's not
an emotional
that's not something that's already
we've been to President Kony, we've been to Vice President Murphy, and they agree with most of what he said. And just to address the point that you said, like, you're not sure if this is a snowball effect or if we're going to be having this. You personally know, being on the League Metabolite, that that boardroom that you sit in every day is given to you at 10 levels of men. You know that if Russell was a high rise, if he was a Dixon, if he was all West, you would not be able to go into that same sector that we go into every day to use that conference room and dialogue on these big issues. So we go into pitch, we're on the same organization. He gives us money every year. We can thank all Mr. Webber giving us money every year for those events that we throw. You know? No one can say that it's called a snowball effect, but if it is going you're making an assumption that because, you know, if you remove things, it's going to be justified in favor of the board. And I would challenge you to say that not many people, you know, are able to not give you the support of the King Club. You know the work that he's done for the League of Mind, for CISA, for every student association, for Asian Student Association, for NSA Nigerian Association, for, you know, Sabor, for the Muslim community,
for a lot of groups, yeah.
Whoever needs it. So that's what that space, you know, that space is built for. And I didn't ask you for the losing, but that was part of the losing.
Just briefly go.
Okay, but I understand everything that you're saying right now. If you want to personally get into, yes, I'm on the League of Men's Alliance, Mr. Glover helps me a lot. For one, it kind of seems like you actually, Mr. Glover's just dying. Mr. Glover is just being moved to another residential hall, right? So he's still going to be here, and he's still going to be able to have the same impact that he has been having. He just has a different vehicle now. And like I said, it may not be all as bad as a lot of people are, you know, trying to make it out to be. He's still going to be here, and you get the chance to bring in somebody who's probably just as light, maybe younger than King Glover, and, you know what I'm saying, the exact same thing he's doing. For one, if you want to talk about, you know, personally my dealings with, you know, King Glover, a lot of people who are supporting, I'll bring the Uzbek into this because that's the main issue, that's the main underlying issue. A lot of people who are trying to save Uzbek don't even want to live in Uzbek. And you can look at even your committee members, the people in news for King Glover, a lot of people don't even want to live in Uzbek. So I don't understand how you guys can personally attack us, personally attack me, and say that the real thing, I'm not looking at it, you know, I need to think about what I'm saying. I've been thinking about this entire semester, and I believe you've been thinking about this entire semester. So I'm not necessarily bringing down the whole movement or what you're doing. So please don't say that.
Just to clarify one thing, I'm sure, you know, no one's out to attack anyone, so I'd encourage, you know, not using such combative terminology. But we'll move on, and, you know, if you'd like to address any of the comments made, you'll have a chance to do so in your later on. Representative Nicoletti.
Well, first, I want to give my appreciation to Representative Rao and my resolution, and Ray, Benson's resolution being used in this context. Quickly go over it again. Two students put on the screening committee and more participation in REC selection. Something else, when I was talking to Representative Williams before, the student committee actually just brought to our attention, does hiring, does firing, and also does review, which is what I wasn't sure before. And the reason I think this is such a good resolution is not because it says that Mr. Glover should be exonerated and should be brought back. It brings into effect a review, and it takes into account that there could be both sides, which I commend you for. Because, honestly, I don't know why Mr. Glover was transferred. I've never really gotten a true answer, and I think that a review with students involved and administrators is the proper way that it should be done to bring this issue out into the light. And just a note on the Red Light team, he's done a phenomenal job. Our chair, John Rowley, has been tremendous, and I know there's a bunch of people in the audience now. We really feel strongly about these issues, and we really invite you guys to come and speak about these issues. Just two things that weren't really mentioned in the resolution, which were kind of spurred
from this issue. We have now been able to put two students on the UJMA search committee for RHDs, which we're still looking for one more student to fill that spot. And we have a new committee, which is headed by a student member myself, and two new students were just installed in the committee, Sasha Lopez and Maria Lanza. And so we continue to look for new ways to work with the community, which is important to the crowd. So thank you.
Thanks. Community member Megan Lott. Please introduce yourself and your year.
Thank you.
Speak into the mic because you're confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, so I guess my question specifically was about the Be It Further Resolved clause that mandates that Joe Burke, I guess, follow the results of the review committee. Basically because I guess, as we've all said today, we really don't know why Ken Glover was removed in the first place. I think when it comes down to it, I've had a lot of conversations about Ken Glover and about UJMA and about program houses. And a lot of things have been said, a lot of accusations on both sides. So for me at least, coming as somebody who at least tries to look at things objectively, I'm not sure where to come down because essentially I don't know who to trust. And again, when it comes down to us, especially for me as somebody who has unfortunately waded this assembly into staff issues, as I did last week, I don't think it's within our purview to look at staff issues and the hiring and firing of staff members. And I think that we should do that with a lot of caution. And so, again, I think that this, everything that Resolution 15 is trying to do is absolutely fantastic, and everything this resolution is trying to do is absolutely fantastic up until this clause that I got to that mandates that the university essentially follow the staffing dictates of this, you know, student and staff, but, you know, partially student committee. Again, just because as students we're not purview to a lot of the, especially financial information that goes into making staffing decisions. And then again, I guess for the sponsors of Resolution 15 or for you guys if you want to comment also, it's not my understanding that this Resolution 15 staffing committee is going to have any more access to this kind of information than we do as students looking in. If that's not the case, then please correct me. But
again, so I guess my big concern, and I don't know that I'd be comfortable voting for this if that clause wasn't removed, but that I don't think it's proper for us to mandate that the university follow the results of this committee. So I'll give
Are
you guys
motioning?
No, I'm not motioning yet. I want to hear what you guys had to say.
From Mexico, Representative Rapp.
Basically, I think everything I wanted to say, I pretty much mentioned that clause.
Do I have
1.1? And then we were just talking about this. I thought you were going to start looking at it. When we were writing this presentation, we really didn't want to deal with it. We were probably happy that we were going to say it.
Thanks. Moving on, community member Zachary Mutt.
Alumni could have just reached out to you about the situation, about what they were.
Students who could have been informed. Students who were expecting to have things on their in the dorm when they came back to the hall could have been informed and notified about what the university was thinking. My issue here is that for due to program health review, how can you just remove the person's 20 years of experience ahead of that review and expect that everything's going to be okay? The university hasn't established any type of transition. No type of transition. So what that indicates to me is that they don't care anything about Butler, anything about his experience, and very little about his community. If they really care, we could be having a totally different conversation right now. Instead of saying, Butler should be in this position, and that's something that they debate about that, we could be debating about ways to build a community, about ways to build a community, about what this program is doing. And I just want to respond to a couple of questions. Look, the essay is taking hands here because our community is coming to you guys and saying we're tired, we want to change, we want to move. Please respond to that. And then about being a little bit the right kind of about what maybe could be a good thing. Well, that could be the case, right? But when we push President Ford and Susan Murphy about what could be done to use King Love and Creative Residential Program, they had no response. No response. To me, that indicates that the right to have a proactive and serious dialogue about that. We could be empowered to carry out the results of the program health review in general. But what's all the more startling to me is that the administration has made it clear that Mr. Glover is not invited to participate in national search. So to me, this resembles more than anything a decision that drastically affected our communities and is wasting a lot of our time. And what we're coming to you today to say that we need ethnic support because you guys deserve a voice in this too, because you deserve a voice and students should be taken seriously.
Thanks, Zach. VPN.
You know, I mean, that was an amazing address, and I also want to address what VP Williams said in his opening statement. The student assembly is a great forum to discuss these issues, and I think that throughout this time period, through Ola's work and Rami's work, we've been, you know, the SA has been represented in, you know, the Tank Lover issue, and I guess my crux, the reason why I have the mic in front of me is because I think, as to steal a term Randy was saying, this resolution will determine the strength of the Student Assembly Charter. This is a legislative action, and because of that, it requires the President's signature, and I think that it'd be great, or it's going to be very interesting to see if he signs it. And if the signature doesn't occur, I think it should be a catalyst to student involvement in this, and not only to students of Kent Glover, but also for, you know, majority of students to get involved. And to, because then it's not only, it becomes an issue of Ujamaa and Kent Glover, and it transforms into an issue of what is the strength of the student assembly and what power does the charter, like, is the charter honored, essentially? So, thank you.
Great, thanks. Lex Dean Mew. He wrote Lex, I was saying.
Speaking of the mic.
Yeah, speak louder, yeah. Yeah.
I really think that the resolution should pass because I don't think we can move forward with the inclusion of student voice and all the things that we're talking about in the removal process for removal of hiring process for program health director of Resolution 15 if we don't enact this resolution, which would make everything retroactive. We cannot remove the residential board of directors and then make student voice a part of it. Because the crux of the issue is the undermining of everything that we're doing. Additionally, there's some comments made about who is supporting this, it seems that the people that are behind this don't even want to be for me personally, I've noticed that the majority of students, those bigger organizations that are coming up with issues, they know about this level, they know about the team up, but it's more than that. It's more about the ideas that we are discussing here, that student voice needs to be part of. I've had conversations with people randomly on Western campuses in Open Shield and Nine Falls, and I've had people who do know about issues. And 75% of the time, they know about issues, and they do have some understanding about what's going on. cases that come here, but the whole campus is aware of what's going on. The reason those departments and zero sets and they have a commentary about it. And I really think that the FAA should decolonize it, be progressive in their movement. And this is the gentleman just spoke. This is a goal that the instructors were potentially wanting to do with the HOA at the present, recognizing that student voice, which is the FAA, should be respected. And maybe that would have not the whole candidate to really look at the strength of the institutions that are here. Thank you.
Thanks. Moving on, and I'd like to remind everyone that if you're on the speaker's list, you can call to question at any time, Representative Desai. So we're going to vote, and we're going to do it by hand vote. So for everyone who wants to vote, please raise your hand. Are you counting with me? Yes. Okay. All right. Everyone who doesn't want to vote. So by a vote of 11-5, we're going to go ahead and call to question. And we'll just go with the roll call thing, if you want to.
Two-minute closing argument.
Oh, sorry. Closing, please. you'll have a minute to close.
Okay. I just wanted to say,
let's forget. By a vote of 14-2, the resolution passes. Okay, now I'm going to move lights off for now Resolution 23 to the end of the day because they have the PowerPoint projector set up. The sponsors are Representative Ravaret, Jolyon Bloomfield, and Erica Gutierrez.
Adam, can you tilt it this way?
Oh, tilt the screen. And you can go ahead and present.
Yeah, great. First of all, I want to commend Adam's leadership on the environment committee for doing all this great work, and this is obviously a huge issue. So great job managing your committee and getting this done. I just wanted to find out. So the letters of President Scorton, is that going to be co-signed by you as the chair of the environment committee? All right. So. Okay, great. So with that, I'll call it to question.
There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Motion for hand vote?
Yeah, we'll do a hand vote. So everyone in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14, 14,
All right. Everyone against this resolution? Are there any abstentions? Okay, I have 14-0-0, so the resolution passed. Okay, it's about to be 6:30 now, but I'm just going to extend the meeting for another 15 minutes to get through the other resolutions because they're slightly time sensitive. We have clarification of executive committee membership and executive session resolution 17. Let them present first. Brevity would be appreciated.
Second.
Yeah, just one thing about that. Can you just please send me the updated copy so I can forward it to the clerk so we have record of it? We'll now open up to the speakers with VP Basil.
One quick question. So how does this mean attendance-wise that now DOE parliamentarian and the executive archivist have to attend executive committee meetings or risk losing their position? Okay. All right. With that, I'd like to call a question.
Second.
There's been a call for question.
Call for acclamation.
Is there any dissent? There's been a call for acclamation. Sorry?
Yes. All right. You're right. Never mind.
Right. Yeah. So there's been a motion to vote. Would you like to say anything to close it? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
Yes.
Basil?
Yes.
Yes.
Elijah?
Yes. He's absent.
Desai?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes. Yes.
Kumar?
Yes.
Nicolai? Phillips?
Yes.
Raff?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robin needs to push it over.
Say again? All right, the resolution passes.
Next, you need to vote yes to push it over.
You need
really?
To
start,
yeah.
Start.
Yes. I vote yes.
It needs 16.
I can, to in case there needs to be an extra vote to push it over, the chair can do so. Because it's a charter change.
It needs 16 votes.
Yeah, 16 votes. Thanks for pointing that out. Good. Okay, next up, which is not a charter change, regarding availability of task force reports, resolution 18 by VP Andrews, VP Kumar, and Abdul Dandy, who stepped out.
Okay, opening up the speakers list. Are there any new people?
Yeah, as somebody who's seen a lot of these task force reports, they're mostly dry and boring and not that informative, but there are a lot of good nuggets of information in there, so I absolutely agree with this resolution and I'd like to call a question.
My boss, do you have a comment first? Okay.
Thanks.
There's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second?
A second.
Is there any dissent? All right, resolution has been approved. Resolution 19 by VP Williams, if you can go up there, regarding joint assemblies multicultural issues. And this again is a challenge.
Do we still have 16?
I think so. There's been a call to vote.
Call to question.
Okay. There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Motion for handling?
No, it's okay.
Well, okay. Yeah. So, call it in. And, Nikhil, if you can pay attention. Go ahead.
Yes.
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 Gibbons?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
Kumar?
Yes.
Nicolati?
Not here. He
stepped
up.
Yes.
Rath?
Yes.
Rath?
Yes.
Rath?
Yes.
Yes.
Smith?
Well? Absent. And then Robin.
And I vote yes. Push it up. Yes. The final? By 16-0-0, the resolution passed. Now to resolution 20, supporting the ICSD's, the Ithaca School District's list of the student volunteer fees. Representative Gitlin's inaugural resolution. Hoping to open any more to come.
Part of me wants to vote this down just because it was so outrageous that, like, ICPSD had this ban in the first place, because it was such a strict and ridiculous ban on student volunteers in the community.
where they were basically saying all of you were contagious lepers that I'm like, and it was so difficult for all the students who are active participants in the ITIS community to stay involved. This blanket ban was ridiculous. They thought that all of us were disease carrying plague rats, basically.
You aren't.
So, which some of us are.
But just a point of information. I think like current like special volunteer services weren't banned. I think it was just the additional ones.
Yeah, everything considered non-essential. So it was kind of they were taking their pick. You can put plague rats in the minutes, by the way. Sorry. Well, let me finish. So that's one hand. On the other hand, I'd like us to take the high road and pass this. So that's all I have to say. I'd like a motion to vote.
Thanks. There's been a call for information. Is there a second?
Okay.
Is there any dissent? Okay. Thanks. Congrats. All right. Finally, let's get this out. This is pretty important, actually. Resolution 21.
What? We're tabling.
No, not here. Yeah, we'll table it for next week and meeting it.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.